Well, a few days ago, I had the pleasure of viewing two very moving exhibitions at the wonderful Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum on the campus of Michigan State University. One exhibition features images of courage and resolve in the face of environmental disaster, and the other, the tragedy and trauma suffered by refugees who are living in unimaginable conditions in remote Algeria. To discuss both, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome to the program Stephen L. Bridges. Stephen is assistant curator of the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I mentioned this museum we have on the campus of Michigan State University that is indeed a jewel. Tell us a little bit about the background of the museum for our listeners who may not have heard about it.
Absolutely. So the Broad Art Museum was founded in 2012 here at MSU, and it kind of in a way kind of fulfilled a desire, I think, by its both its kind of founding supporters, in specifically in name the Eli and Edith Broad, as well as other constituencies around campus and in the local community, to have a venue for contemporary art, the most forward-thinking, kind of the most kind of challenging as well as exciting contemporary art in the world today. And then it dovetails very well with MSU's international kind of mission. So a lot of the work that we bring is from all across the world, definitely fulfills that international focus.
And there was quite a story on the structure itself.
Exactly, yeah. So they did an open call. They did an open bid for the architectural firm to build the museum. And we are blessed to work in a Zaha Hadid design building. She is
one of the great architects of the world.
Absolutely. One of one of the four forerunning, and unfortunately recently deceased. She's an international renowned architect, and her building is just, it's absolutely stunning. And I believe this is still true, it's the only freestanding designed building by Zaha Hadid in North America.
Wow. Well, quite a gem for sure. Let's go to the two exhibitions. Let's start with Gideon Mendel's Drowning World. It includes some digital prints, some video, even some newer works that he calls his watermarks. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So Gideon Mendel is a photographer that was kind of came to be known for his work in South Africa around the AIDS crisis, kind of in the 80s and 90s. And that's where he kind of made his name as kind of a photojournalist, kind of working in that vein, but has since moved out of that realm, although kind of keeping close to photojournalism, more into a contemporary art realm. But his portraits focus on individuals who have suffered from flood victims. So it's a very unique approach that he takes, but he essentially, whenever these natural disasters take place, he travels to those locations. Where most people are trying to get away from those locations, he goes directly to them and then works with individuals in those communities and actually goes into their home environments or domestic environments mostly and photographs them as they re-enter their homes for the first time. So these portraits of these individuals from all across the world, from India, Missouri, I think is one of the most
Bangladesh.
Recent.
Bangladesh,
Africa. He photographs them in the environments in their home, and oftentimes the water is still there. So, the water is creeping up their bodies. It's still the remains of the watermarks are on the walls and things like that. And you can see a glimpse of the devastation, but most importantly, you have a human face to these kind of disasters, right? Oftentimes they become portrayed in the media as these kind of spectacularized events. And we don't really understand the human impact on the ground, so to speak. So what he's doing essentially is recovering that sense of humanity, that sense of empathy that we have, and that sense of belonging that we share with all the people. So,
yeah, and the sense I got, and everybody reacts to these exhibitions differently, but there wasn't a whole lot. It wasn't like these people, classic portraiture, but they weren't broken down. They weren't defeated. There was a sense of resolve and a sense of courage that comes through those portraits.
I like that. I'm glad that that's your reading. I think that's a really important reading, that there isn't just this devastation, broken, loss, that there is hope inside these eyes. And I think the portraits are so striking because a lot of times the individual being photographed is having a direct eye contact with the camera and therefore kind of with you as the viewer of these images. And you can see in their eyes that there is this strength, this kind of unrelenting, kind of willful strength that remains in those individuals. And there is this sense of perseverance that I think comes through as well. Absolutely.
And then there's this whole business of watermarks, which we can all relate to. Water damage photos that he found in these homes that he actually finds some aesthetic value to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in the wake of these kinds of natural disasters, there's a lot of debris and other materials are kind of left, kind of scattered about. And what he does is he's kind of course, being a photographer, attracted to the photographs that he's found. And a lot of times, you know, they're family photo albums that have essentially been washed away. And so you have these collections of older photographs, you know, you remember Polaroids and Kodak, like old Kodak kind of images, 3x5s and things like that. And oftentimes they're kind of, you know, because they get wet and they have that film on them, they kind of get glued together. So you have to peel them apart after the damage. But what happens is that the water kind of shifts the colors in the images, right? They become a bit more abstract.
Right.
Strange things happen within the images as a result of their mixing with the water and other chemicals and other things that are in the water. And then what he does is he scans those and blows them up. So he's essentially taking these found objects, scanning them, and turning them into larger photographs. And they almost, in a way, become similar to paintings. They're so beautiful. Yeah. But there is, it's a strange thing, I guess, in a way, for me to call them beautiful, though they are. Knowing the kind of the backstory and the kind of more kind of the struggle that lies beneath their surfaces, in a sense.
My guest is Stephen Bridges. He's the assistant curator of the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum at Michigan State University. The next exhibition you curated, it's called Sam Jury to Be Here, a very haunting and different kind of an exhibition about refugees who've been in refugee camps for a very long time.
That's correct, yes. So the artist, Sam Jury, is a British artist and filmmaker. She spent a two-week residency in a camp, a refugee camp in southwest Algeria called the Boujdour camp. And these settlements house Sahrawi refugees who originally were from Western Sahara and were displaced by the end of European colonialism in Africa and then ensuing roughly 20-year armed conflict with the Moroccan government. And so that that situation politically is still unresolved at this time. And those communities have been displaced to those settlements. And so she spent 2 weeks there filming and recording and working.
Using handheld camera, right?
Exactly, yeah. Because of the conditions in the Sahara Desert, it's a very extreme environment. She can only bring certain lightweight, more kind of easily and readily kind of available materials to work with. So it lends to a much more kind of improvised, kind of almost first-person perspective within the videos that she created.
Despite the darkness and the sort of sense of hopelessness that I felt looking at those, she uses light, almost glimmers of light that are coming through windows or door cells that provide maybe a glimmer. Mm-hmm. Of optimism for the condition that these people are in.
Yeah, that's, again, I think you're reading that absolutely right. There's a strong sense of still hopefulness. I mean, there's this kind of melancholic quality to both of to all of the installation. But she's also, being a filmmaker and having a very cinematic kind of eye for filming, she is very interested in creating these vignettes, and as well as this history of art, of the importance of light, as light is kind of being a symbolic of hope and kind of, I don't know, an awakening or something, or kind of revitalization or something of that sort.
What about the young girl, the narration that mm-hmm. is sort of a voiceover some of these images? Also hard to determine or hard to glean a sense of hope from what that young girl is saying. How do you read that?
You know, I think what she expresses is a kind of underlying sense of frustration. And what is what is developing there is that there are individuals such as the narrator, who's a bit younger, not entirely sure of her age, but she was born in the camp and she's lived her entire life in the camp. I mean, these camps have existed for almost 40 years now. So there's a certain generation of individuals that don't know, they don't even remember the homeland, so to speak. They don't know anything other than the camps. And what she's expressing is a bit of a frustration with this kind of stasis that they're in. There is no resolution. There's not much being done to kind of proactively address that. And so she's kind of explaining for herself that she wants more out of life, and she's kind of talking about the want and the desire that she has to do something different. So in that sense, I think it kind of bends that story towards that positive note, where that restlessness, rather than kind of eating away at them, is kind of, I think, for her and the younger generation, it's feeding into a desire for change, for doing something to be proactive in their communities to kind of force.
And the fact that even though she's never been outside that refugee camp her entire life, she's able to say, this doesn't mean that I've given up hope.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Well, both of these exhibitions are wonderful. If you get a chance to get over to the Broad Art Museum, it's Sam Jury, To Be Here, Gideon Mendel, The Drowning World. It's been a pleasure talking with Stephen L. Bridges, Assistant Curator of the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum. Stephen, love to have you back on as you do more of these sorts of exhibits that really look at sustainability across the spectrum of environment, social, and economic.
Absolutely, yeah. I would love to, and I look forward to it.